This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football Friday coming at you. Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and we join you today fresh off JVT testing out his British accent. Our good buddy Alex Blowers just walked out the door. And what I said to you right before we came on, I said, you do it too. But then the music started playing. We had to actually do our jobs here. But something that I don't mean to do, but I do often, is when somebody speaks to me in an accent, I often just hit them back with it.
No, so here's the thing.
I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
Well, right, here's the thing. I know it's inappropriate. I do it on purpose to bother Alex, who's become a friend of mine, Alex Blowers, who was on the air with us during the World Cup at some point, but is extremely British to the point where I assume he likes, you know, haggis and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I do it on purpose.
The first
little
time,
bit of spotted dick for dessert.
I can't remember what it was. He walked up to us at the coffee shop one day, and before he even said a word, I was just like, hello,
yeah, right.
And like, gotta rein it in.
No, see, I do it on purpose. You have weird social tics.
I know that
somewhere deep down it bothers him as a Brit, but it's America. We won the war, and we get to do what we want.
I haven't heard enough of his American accent. That's what we really need.
I'm all a titter today.
What does that even mean?
The energy is in the air. You know, we got a bunch of our colleagues here from SiriusXM Fantasy. I'm, you know, a social butterfly. I've been going around saying hi to people. You've been sitting here in the cave, not doing anything. I'm really feeling the energy. Our boss, our head honcho, our big cheese, Bill Ady, said it in the meeting that we had today as a network. You know, the energy has shifted, right? The pressure is on. It's football season. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
I stay inside because I'm like a vampire. You know I can't see sunlight. But you mentioned a lot of the people that are in town. We have both fantasy football expert Kendall Valenzuela and fantasy and betting analyst Brad Evans that are going to join the show in studio today. Mike Palm, usually in studio, he's going to be remote on the phone with us, but excited to have the VP of operations here at Circa join the program like he always does on a Friday. Same thing with Will Hill. We're going to get some of his best bets today. So we're locked and loaded on a Friday, as always. Let's set the table for all the rest of the great action on deck with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
So we kicked off week 2 of the preseason last night with a couple games. We got 3 more coming up today. In about 30 minutes, we'll talk through all the line moves for today and throughout the weekend. We're going to see Bo Nix for the first time since his pair of ankle surgeries today. Panthers and Jags both expected to give some of their starters a run. And for the Steelers-Jets game, a little bit of a development. We had the will they, won't they for Geno Smith. It appears he is going to go ahead and give it a go today. And for the Steelers, no Aaron Rodgers, no Mason Rudolph. It will be the Will Howard experience followed by Drew Aller.
Yep. By the way, a titter is actually a laugh, so I got that wrong. I apologize. My vocabulary is not as strong as I thought it was. But I would say I agree with all the points that you just made. I think they're very sound ones because I was definitely listening, but I will add on that I'm very interested to watch Drew Aller follow up a performance in which he was very dominant in a preseason setting last week.
3 total touchdowns in his debut. Not too shabby. We will go back to the futures today as well, recapping our VSiN NFL futures draft we had yesterday. That was a time, to say the least.
What do you mean? It was fun.
It was fun.
I had a lot of fun. I ran into our boss, Steve Cohen, on the way in, and I said, tell John Hansen no hard feelings.
There was a lot of ribbing coming from your side of the table yesterday over there at Bar Canada. We all had a lot of fun, I feel like, at Dave Ross's expense, but he was a great sport as always. I felt bad. I took his Dak Prescott stat leader right away with my second overall pick. And I did want to say, because he came back at you after you last year said to him,
yeah,
worst pick ever in the whole draft when he made that selection. We both agree it's different Cowboys teams.
Well, that, and also, as I told him immediately, I don't listen when you speak, so
that's fair.
That's why I didn't say
we
anything
about
it.
That. Yeah. Because I'm a woman, but it's a we'll move on.
By the way, let the record show that Luke DeVosta, producer for Follow the Money, and one of our esteemed producers behind the scenes, ran our draft through Claude, the AI.
Yep.
Second highest power rated draft right here, right behind, I think it was Tim Murray.
I was 4th, I think.
Yeah.
Said I had a very balanced portfolio. Which
we don't have to ask about the Grok one. Grok stinks. Grok has no
Nothing
idea what
that.
It's
You
doing.
Know I don't like the robots. Yeah. I don't trust any of the analysis. Also, our NFL training camp tour will continue today as well. Houston, we have a couple questions here. I am excited to talk about this team. C.J. Stroud has not been able to recapture what he had his rookie season just yet. The offensive line issues haven't helped, but they're rebuilding that. The defense, we know, is elite, so will it all come together for them this year and in the postseason? We'll discuss.
Yeah, I think that I've come around more on Houston in the sense of I don't think it's all on Stroud. I think we remember what we saw last, and Stroud did not perform very well in the postseason. But I think that there was a lot of things that led to that ultimate moment in which they were eliminated that maybe they fixed, and maybe, just maybe, we'll see this team achieve a semblance of production on offense that could lead them to being the best team in the AFC.
We saw a little bit of him yesterday as they had their preseason week two game yesterday against the Las Vegas Raiders. And that line kind of was going all over the place yesterday. I believe closed some spots as high as 2.5 in favor of the Raiders. Don't quite cover that number, but if you did the 1.5 or the 0.5 on Vegas, that obviously gets home. No. They come all the way back down 14-0 early. Down, I want to say it was 20-3 at halftime or something around there. They end up coming back to win 22-20 when all was said and done. Aiden O'Connell with the sneak at the end to ultimately push them over the edge. Interesting day for Fernando Mendoza, not his best. What were some of your big takeaways?
Yeah, first off, 20-3, I think, was the biggest deficit there, as you mentioned there, going into the third quarter. But I think ultimately you saw him play like a rookie against a really good defense. And, you know, the Texans defense, it goes deeper than just the starting 11. So that's probably part of this. The scheme is very productive. As we had discussed, a lot of reports and accounts coming out of those Houston joint practices were that Mendoza and the offense as a whole had struggled anyway. So you kind of saw that coming, I think, to an extent. Look, it was a bad interception. He said it after the game yesterday. You know, you come late with your read. You try to fit it in on a bad throw. You get picked off, and you can't get the guy down. So, of course, it's a pick six going the other way. I don't think I was entirely surprised. And I think you saw a lot of, too, one of the big questions for the Raiders. There's a lot of big questions. It's the offensive line. You know, they have true competitions at the guard spots and what that's going to look like as a whole. Mendoza was pressured on 6 of his dropbacks yesterday. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem going forward for them, is what that's going to look like. So I think that this is exactly what we thought. This is a flawed team. This is going to be a group that's going to have to work through a lot of struggles on offense. And as we're going to talk about the Texans coming up, Stormy, your offensive line, we always talk about it in the sense of pass pro. From a run blocking standpoint, in a scheme that is very reliant on your rushing attack, how will they look as we get into the regular season as well?
Yeah, and for Fernando Mendoza as a young quarterback making the transition from college to pro, a lot more. He's already thrown more than twice as many passes from under center in 2 preseason games than he did in 37 games as a college football player. So he's got some adjustments, some growing to do as well. But while we have talked about Kirk Cousins being the day one starter for this team, Kubiak wouldn't say that yesterday, which I thought was kind of strange. Like, why are we playing coy about this? Ever since the pre-draft process, hasn't all of the discussion been around the thought process that Fernando Mendoza is somebody we don't want to have to play right away? We want to have him sit back. Tom Brady has talked a lot about his own personal experience, learning from behind the scenes, and that more quarterbacks in today's day and age are ruined before they're developed. Like, did that surprise you that he wouldn't just say it?
So I couldn't find it. Do you know exactly what he said?
I don't have the exact quote pulled up, but the headline was all over the place.
Because here's the thing. He's already said that Kirk is the starter. Like, he has quite literally said it, right? He said it right before training camp that Kirk Cousins is their number one and everybody's going to compete for a job. So, yes, Kirk is fighting for his job still, but that he is the starting quarterback.
That's why I think people are, like, reading into it more now that he wouldn't say it. But I'm saying that he wouldn't say it there and that he was like, we're still having competition all over the team.
But I think that's more of, like, just that, right? It's keeping guys kind of accountable to an extent, because if you know you have a job, then more than likely – you tend to slack a little bit, right? You're not fighting for it. And so maybe it's just one of those games that head coaches play. As I've said, and we've all heard it, Clint said it himself, that he is Kirk Cousins, the starting quarterback.
We did a whole segment on that.
That's going to be so confusing, by the way, all season long. Clint, Kirk, all the...
It's too much.
But I don't think there's really any question. Can I point out really quickly, one of the things that I think is going to be a really interesting dynamic for the Raiders, again yesterday, you know, Mike Washington looked pretty solid yesterday for the Raiders when you looked at that game. So I'm going to be curious to see how that plays out. 9 carries, 56 yards. So just looking at that running back dynamic for the Raiders as we enter the regular season. I know Ashton Jeanty is the guy. But if Jeanty isn't really as effective, you do wonder how this running back room looks. Because remember, also against the Cardinals, 6 carries, 63 yards, 10.5 yards per attempt. So I'm going to be curious to see. And we have some fantasy folks joining us. What that, from a fantasy, from a player prop, all the award standpoint, what that might look like, because Washington has looked really good through 2 games.
The Chargers also, yesterday's 1.5-point favorites get blown out. They lose to San Francisco 41-17. Play of the game came in the second quarter. Jacob Cowing returns a punt for 83 yards and a touchdown. He missed all of last season with the hamstring injury, so nice to see him, especially given you think the wide receiver depth issues that San Francisco has, to have like a pop performance type of day. Mm-hmm. Dejon Stribling has another solid performance, 4 catches, 46 yards for him. By the way, his offensive rookie of the year odds cut down once again. It was as high as 30-1, I believe, at one point after his first preseason performance, 15-1. Now at DraftKings, I'm seeing 13-1. Brock Purdy looked pretty good in limited action as well. Obviously, no Christian McCaffrey, no Mike Evans, no George Kittle. But speaking of fantasy stuff, I think that'll be a great conversation, especially with the update from Adam Schefter yesterday that I guess out there in L.A., Kittle went and saw the doctor that performed his surgery, and he appears to be ahead of schedule and hopeful for that week one debut against the Rams.
This is a perfect Friday recap because I will lean on you, anything 49ers, as you will with me, with my favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders, of course. But, I mean, I think you're not really taking much away from the 49ers preseason games, right? They're so beat up that you're just kind of I think they're just hoping to make it through every single one.
Like, let's just get Nick Bosa on the field at some point. Let's get George Kittle on the field at some point. But as far as the stribbling stuff goes in the wide receiver room, that's where a lot of our attention is. You got to see a little bit of Debo, right?
Once again, so, pretty good. Catch of 21 yards, right? That was pretty good.
Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh, meanwhile, played his starters for three plays. Got the opening drive, 8-yard, three and out. You did get a little bit more of a look from Jake Slaughter, who's trying to fill in for Biadasz after the ACL injury. But it's funny, like, we have these conversations
about
we brought this up several times yesterday. They're going to play their starters for how long? We don't know. A three and out, and that was all.
Yep. You don't know what the role is. You don't know what it means. Later tonight, we're going to have a good example of this. Yeah. Denver's going to play their starters. So is Green Bay. What does that even mean? They could just go out there and Sean Payton could hand the ball off, as we saw it three times. Okay, cool. Good job, guys. Hit the floor or hit the bench.
Yep. We are just getting started here on Money Moves, though. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to have Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, join the program. Sad he's not in studio today. Hopefully back again next week for him. But a lot to break down. MLB, WNBA, NFL, contest season, everything that's going on. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Of the program, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you in his usual spot, but not with us on the desk today. Mike Palm joins us. Very excited you could still make time for us today. VP of Operations here at Circa Golden Gate and the D, of course. Also host of Palm Saturdays on 104.3 The Score and Bet on Chicago. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
How are you guys? It's Speed Daddy, so let's get right into it.
Let's do it, shall we? And actually, real quickly off the top, JVT ended up this week playing a little bit of Shohei plus 130 for MVP. Now that the odds have shifted a little bit, you still on board?
I don't mind the play. You can get him at 140. I mean, it's interesting. Monday, they both hit two home runs, but was there ever a day where two home runs wasn't two home runs? BCA walks it off against the Sox, and the market dramatically shifts. If you could get ahead of when Ohtani's going to start in September and get ahead of this market move. Because I believe are the Dodgers really just going to let him go into the playoff rotation after 4 months of not pitching? Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe. But if you can get ahead of it, I believe the market will shift dramatically if, say, mid-September he starts and it looks like he's going to make two starts heading into the playoffs. So that's my plan right now to try to be able to do that. But I don't mind anybody taking Ohtani at the plus number right now.
So it is a good baseball day, Mike. We have a lot of these aces that are in action. A couple of them are facing each other. Sale and Mizorowski are going to pose one another in this Braves-Brewers game. Did you have anything here?
Yeah, I was interested to see if we could get a 5.5 total. I don't remember 5.5 totals since the Braves played the Padres in the National League Championship Series in like 99 or whenever that was. And it was like Sterling, Hitchcock, and Maddox. I chose to play Sale over 18.5 outs at the plus price. You can lay $1.60 over 17.5 if you want. He's on two extra days rest. Remember, they moved him back not to pitch in Minnesota to match up with Miz today in the afternoon. So that's why I thought Sale with extra rest. I'm sure he's going to be juiced up to go against the Miz. One of the older standard bearers going against the youngest sensation in pitching. And so I chose plus 18 over 18.5 plus 143 today.
Cool. That's a little bit of a standalone game too at the 1 Pacific 4 Eastern time first pitch there. You're also looking at some tennis today. What do you got for us?
Well, Marta Kostyuk's been like as hot as the Red Sox were on that run. I think at the time that they had gone like 27-2, that was their same mark. She's been terrific heading into the U.S. Open next week, and I would have made her the favorite against Coco today, but the market has not. She's plus 120. I don't mind betting this over 2.5 sets. The last five times these two have played, it's gone to a third set, but I like Kostic a lot tonight.
All right, what else we have on the docket? So we had tennis. Now we have the WNBA as well. I can't say the nickname that the Mystics have thrown out there for their team on the air, but it is a very interesting group. What are we doing with them tonight?
I'm on these young rakes, I'll just put it that way. Look, this is another – well, there's two factors here, right? Olivia Miles, my daughter calls her Gru. She thinks she looks like Gru from Minions. Olivia Miles obviously hurt her ankle in the game at Golden State on Wednesday, and I'm sure – you know, this line, the look ahead on this line was 6, I believe, down to 3. I see 2.5 in spots. He came out of the game in the fourth quarter. I'm sure that, you know, that 5.5 hour flight doesn't help either. Also, that was a spot Wednesday where this was 1-2 Lynx at Valkyries. Kind of an important game because the Valkyries haven't beaten the Lynx or the Aces yet this year, although they have the second best record in the WNBA, but they haven't beaten the two Giants. Obviously Minnesota was, they had circled that date on the calendar. And then in a spot only the WNBA schedule makers can make, you go from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. for your next road game where the Mystics are rested. And so I took, we can't say the word. I took these young ladies, +3 tonight against the number one team.
Google it, everybody, if you want to.
I just showed Stormy. She had no clue. That is their own moniker.
Self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed. VP of Operations here at Circa, Mike Palm, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. While on the theme of women's hoops, though, the Dynasty coming out, the three-part docuseries out there on Apple TV talking all about what Gino Auriemma and the whole crew has done over there at UConn for years. You excited about it?
I watched it all this morning.
Really?
Unfortunately, my wife is, you get it on Apple TV. They were leaking clips all week. The whole thing was out when I looked at 4 a.m. You can watch back to back to back to back. It's about 2 hours, 15 minutes. My wife ordered a bunch of new furniture, and so I've been putting together chairs and tables, and then I had to cut all the boxes for the garbage today. So I listened to the whole thing while cutting up all these boxes. Nothing really new other than, do you remember it was on your show that UConn had gone to South Carolina 2 years ago and beat South Carolina by 30 as a 7-point dog coming off a bad loss at Tennessee. And I said, bet them at 4-1 right now to win the title. And no one came within 17 points of them the rest of the way. It's a lot about how he treated Paige after that loss at Tennessee and how he decided he had to just break her down totally as a person to get her to change to be a better leader. That was interesting. I don't think Auriemma comes off that well in the whole thing. I thought Pat Summitt, because they tell the story of their rivalry, right? It starts from when Gino decides to take the job at UConn, his sort of gruff relationship with Calhoun, and then the rivalry with Pat Summitt, and then gets into the 9 years they didn't win a title and everything that happened. But Pat Summitt probably comes off as well as anybody, if not Diana Taurasi, in this documentary.
So along these lines, Mike, we wanted to kind of tie this back into Paige Bueckers and the Wings. How worried are you? Fudd goes down for the rest of the year, right? They've lost 7 out of the last 10 games. They are on the precipice of falling out of the postseason picture. Who do you think benefits from this?
I don't know. I mean, if you watch the game last night, now neither Paige nor Caitlin had a great offensive night. Mm-hmm. They both sort of struggled. Obviously, Shepherd coming back is huge for Dallas, right? She had, 22 in the first half? She had an incredible first half for them. I think Dallas could be okay. The girl that had 6 blocks last night, you know, Fernandez, the coach, was asked about her off their last game, about her play and her contributions. And Jose Fernandez said at the press conference, he paused and he said, she has a chance to do great things for us. And everybody thought he was the Antichrist because he didn't say anything positive about the way she was playing. You know, meanwhile, Gino tells, you know, the whole team in a film session, I don't know why anybody would see Paige as a leader or follow her because she just doesn't have any of the intangible qualities. I mean, you know, Jose Fernandez was the Antichrist and Gino's a genius. Collier. Awa Collier. She must have had six blocks. She erased everything in the lane. I mean, if she plays like that, she's a difference maker. I, as well as the Fever play at times, I don't think they rebound, defensively rebound or play defense in the half court well enough to win a title. I still think Minnesota and the Aces are the two teams that can win a title. I've been interested. I've been watching some, going back and rewatching these Lynx games because I was thinking about actually betting them at -$1.10 to win the title. You know, you can exploit Miles defensively. Teams really don't do this, but if you have a guard with size, I think you can exploit it, or a super quick guard. It makes me want to think a little bit more about the Atlanta Dream with Ryan Howard matching up against Minnesota as a team that maybe could give them a run. It's hard because the playoff seeds, John, are so fluid. You know, teams go from being the 3 to the 5 and the 4, you know, so it's hard to figure out the playoff matchups for betting futures. But I'll take another look at the Dream. After that loss on Sunday on national TV to the Fever, they just went out and wire to wire on the Aces and then destroyed the Sparks last night.
Yeah, Dream around a 9-1 shot right now to win the WNBA title. Lynx -105. Last 90 seconds or so here, Mike, what's the latest that you can give us on contest season here at Circa and where you sit in Million, Survivor, and Grandissimo?
Yeah, so we're plus 70% in the Survivor. We're at like 10,600 entries where we were at 6,200 this time last year. We're pacing about 20% ahead in the Millions. We have 25 Grandissimo entries. Same day last year, we were at 17. So things look good. Obviously, you guys know Draft Nation there this weekend. And then next weekend, we have contest sign-up weekend. I'll have my panel next Saturday afternoon, 2 to 4 in the ballroom. Amal Straub will be one of the panelists. So we're excited about that. We're still working on Mark Dominic, former GM of the Buccaneers, who had appeared on the morning show with Dave Ross for a while. We're also looking at Ruthie Polinsky from Chicago as being a panelist. She's going to be out here next weekend. She's the lead reporter for CHSN for the Bears and a studio host for them as well. And Jeff Sherman, who's just joined our risk team from the Westgate. That'll be my panel on Saturday afternoon.
And you've got a great local radio duo that's going to host from the book, it sounds like, next Thursday morning. Mike, are you excited?
Oh, I'm tremendously excited. Who could wait? Who couldn't wait?
Thanks, Mike. You're awesome. Have a great rest of your day. We appreciate it.
Take care.
See you, Mike.
Mike Palm, everybody. And again, because he brought up Chicago, bet on Chicago, host of Palm Saturdays. Yeah, you're doing something. You always have to talk about yourself.
That's right. Myself and Brandy Flores from local radio will be out here on Thursday morning right before our show. It's 3 hours.
We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cruising on a Friday edition of the program. Money Moves back at you live from downtown Las Vegas. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. There's no way you're hungry after the breakfast sandwich I saw you eat this morning.
I truly am hungry. It's funny you say that. So this morning I noticed, I don't know when this was, but Jackpot's here at Circa had a new addition. So today I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I've been working hard. My weight's going down. Justin, we're very close. We're very close to Justin, our producer. I have a goal weight to achieve. And then when we get there, we're going to have the 10 patties. Is that what it is? 10 patty burger challenge at a local establishment that we are going to attempt. Yeah, you can try it.
I shan't be doing that, but I would love to be there and watch.
Of course.
However, no.
Your husband going to do it with us?
To interject possibly. Yes, I will record it for you guys.
And Chris is going to do it.
Sure, okay. Maybe. I thought, so are you're not really doing 75 hard again.
No.
Are you going to when football season starts, or are you just kind
I'm
of like...
I'm toying with the idea.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm doing the 75 hard aspect of drinking water and working out twice a day.
Okay.
But, yeah, and I'm also still following a diet, but it's just I want to give myself time to live every once in a while, you know what I'm saying?
I know that because we're going to a certain establishment next weekend that I've been
right.
trying to get you to go to for a long time, but where like, you eat food on styrofoam plates, but it's the best you'll ever have.
From today until that day, I'll be very lean and scant in terms of what I'm going to be eating. So
okay. Anyways, continue the breakfast sandwich.
So the breakfast sandwich is phenomenal. I wanted to go to Jackpot's and try this, so I went out to go and grab it. It is egg, bacon, cheese, sausage, ham, and then another piece of egg all on a plain bagel. And you tell me it is impossible. And I told the wonderful barista, who I am friends with, but I don't remember her name or the other one. I apologize.
Wow.
But she was like, oh, well, that's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner right there. And I looked at her and I go, I'm going to be hungry in an hour.
And here
guess
you
what?
Are.
I am hungry.
Here you are 30 minutes later, not even an hour later. The only thing that would have made that better to you would have been worse. But to me was if you throw some cream cheese on that bad boy, I bet it'd be insane.
That's so
I bet
gross.
It'd be so good.
Cream cheese is gross.
Your
dude.
Hatred of cream cheese is ridiculous.
Don't
it is
like it.
The best thing in the world.
Don't get me started on cheesecake.
You don't like cheesecake either?
So I just had this argument with somebody
dude,
actually just yesterday. It is, I call it a C-tier dessert. I don't hate it. Like, I don't have that repulsive thing that I just had. That's like normal cream cheese. I feel that way. Sour cream, I feel that way. Cream cheese, you can get me. Like, I'll eat it, you know, especially if I'm inebriated, whatever. But, like, it'll never be my first, second, or third choice for desserts.
I make a mean Oreo cheesecake. You'd like it.
Sure.
I hope. But cream cheese, when I was a kid, I used to, you know, the cream cheese tubes that you get that are to go?
Don't stop.
I would just eat them.
I've known
so
somebody
good.
That would just sit there with a vat of Philadelphia cream, like a vat of it.
Yeah.
And they would take hot Cheetos.
Oh, I did that too.
And they would just sit there.
Hell yeah.
And then, like, to the point where it would be like cone shaped in there because it would just do around the side like the whole time. That's
yeah.
so.
That was like my high school.
That's so disgusting.
High school
dude.
Lunch snack. So good. We do have some real things to get into here, shall we?
As don't have to.
Week two of the NFL preseason rolls on. Let's hit the first three games that we've got coming up tonight before we look ahead to the weekend. But the Steelers, they opened a 3-point favorite when there was at least a rumbling of Aaron Rodgers potentially playing in a game. Like, did you see? We talked about this a little bit earlier. Where he said, whatever McCarthy wants me to do, I'll do type of a thing. But, like, we knew he wasn't going to play. Anyways, they go from 3-point favorites, now 1.5-point dogs against the Jets. Total 37.5. There were questions about whether or not Geno Smith was going to be available dealing with that sore ankle. Looks like he is going to play. The starter's question when it was asked to Aaron Glenn earlier this week said, our players are going to play, but things can change as we get closer to game time. So not a clear expectation, but you would expect some starters going?
I would think so. I think that's probably going to be the case. I'm just, again, the impact and what it means and how much we're going to see of them, I would expect that maybe that's going to be it. But I like, it's hard to read when you have the situation of the dynamic of starters are going to play, but you know that they're espousing that there's really no value in that. You know what I'm saying?
So Jets, they had their starting offense and defense play two series each in the opener against the Bucs. Is that what we should go
with,
off
with
of?
Kate Klubnik leading them, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So, but see, that's what I mean. So, like, the rest of your starters got it. I would assume you don't want to put them out there for that much longer. But I will say, like, I guess Aaron Glenn has really talked a lot about, like, process. And they do have two new coordinators, so that's a really big deal, right, offense and defense. So you want to make sure that – because the reason why I like to cover local, too, and you get to get this aspect doing your games, too – is we talk so much about on-field production and all that kind of stuff. These coaches will tell you all the time, these preseason games are also how we all communicate as a staff, right? Play calling, communication between us, what do I like, what do we don't? And so maybe they're really trying to work some of that stuff out as well, which would mean that maybe some of the starters are going to be out there for a little bit longer as they try to work out some of the kinks of just the logistics of being a coaching staff now for a second game.
As far as the Steelers side of it goes, like any, I mean, both Will Howard and Drew Aller played well. Aller obviously had the 3-touchdown day, but any just general feel?
I mean, I just wonder if Aller's just going to do it again, right? That's really the question. Because so we had talked about this because this is the week you were out on Monday, right? So Monday we came back in and we were talking about how me, myself, and I that opener of 3.5 or 3, depending on where you looked, to me that screamed like, ooh, like there's kind of a belief here in Aller. And then of course we get the news about the starters and everything that's going to happen. But either way, I would think that there's a little bit more respect for Aller considering the way that he played in that first game. So I'd be curious to see, like, if he can put that together. He looked really comfortable. You know, I'll invoke a similar mindset that I did with Carson Beck, which is, remember, at one point, Drew Aller was thought to be – Carson Beck was thought to be a first-round pick. Drew Aller was thought of being as maybe a first overall pick.
Yo, I thought he was going to take off.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to be great in college.
And so, but what if that is true? What if he is a first overall pick type talent and things just went wrong for him? He slides down the board. And so the whole point here is you might be getting a first high first-round pick talent leading an offense here in a preseason game against a bunch of backups. And if that's the case, you could see another situation like you saw in that first game where he was wheeling and dealing, slicing and dicing, and that offense was humming along.
Game two of the day, Jags go from 2.5-point favorites to 1.5-point dogs against the Carolina Panthers. We've also seen some under money come in as well from 39.5 to 37.5. Both Dave Canales and Liam Cohen said they expect their starters to get a couple of drives potentially in this game. How do you see it?
This one I had no feel for at all. Because I don't think your boys performed very well, even with their starters out there last week.
Well, that's why Canales wants him out there again, because the offense did a whole lot of nada.
So do you think maybe this is, he's going to start, like, game planning and scheming and doing some stuff? Because, again, The big thing about the preseason, Josh McDaniels did this when he started with the Raiders. He was, like, scheming preseason games. He was showing, like, complex route patterns, things like that. He was actually trying to win games instead of just running vanilla stuff that really doesn't have anything to get guys open. He's, like, running beaters, things like that. So I wonder if Canales is going to do that just to get that taste of winning. And remember, too, in the preseason, maybe. I mean, you know this, Canales has not done well in the preseason. Now, doing well means there's some sort of expectation in the preseason, but they just have not had success under him at all, whether that's he doesn't care or whatever it is. But given the bad performance, given his overall history in the preseason, maybe one expects that he's going to try to put something out there on film just to at least get a positive, like, juju going.
Any thoughts on the total? I guess for any of these games, because actually this is down another point to 36.5 now. We saw both of the totals yesterday see a little bit of movement to the under. I'm pretty much every total that has been on the move has been toward the under after the way week one played out. Yet both games yesterday go over. Not like it's a one-stop shop. Everything's going to be the same, but have these maybe been adjusted a little bit too much, hypothetically?
I mean, right. So you said it last week, not all of them, but I think was it 12 and 4 to the under, something like that. So we get a high rate of unders last week, and then the totals get played under this week, and then the first two games we see go over. So maybe their market's doing a little too much in trying to catch this falling knife of, well, last week it went over. So now, and I don't think, you know, sharp bettors, ones that shape the market, are not going to be like that all the time. And then you see a couple of these games, like you said, we saw this Jets-Steelers game go under in terms of the opener to now. We saw the Carolina-Jacksonville game go under. Green Bay-Denver has gone over 38.5 at the open, up to 41.5. But I think that's because you're getting two teams that are playing their starters together. So maybe that's part of it. But I would expect that, like, for all of these, I mean, Carolina-Jacksonville seems like somewhat of a dead under. If you get the same kind of performance you did from Carolina's starters, and I don't think that Liam Cohen's going to show much here with this Jacksonville team, you're probably getting a pretty ugly game.
Yeah, again, a three-point swing on that one. Last 90 seconds here, you took the points with the Packers?
Yes, I did. 6.5, and we're kind of just stubbornly floating around that number. I guess the 6.5 are gone, so it's down to 6. So, bam, closing line value. I told that to Gil this morning. It's a pushback on the market with information that was already known. We knew that Sean Payton was going to play his starters, and yet this got pushed up when, again, he said he was going to play his starters. He told us last week. We played the clip on this freaking show.
Yeah. Right? We're not going to play the starters this week. We're going to play him next week.
So, and again, remind me again, the Chargers starters did what yesterday?
3 and out.
But they played.
8 yards.
They played.
Yeah. So I think we're going too far. And again, I like the value that the betting market puts into certain things. Starters are going to play for Denver. We're pushing this thing up to 6. Starters are going to play for Green Bay. 6 is fine.
The only thing I would say, just to play devil's advocate, is what we talked about a little bit yesterday, just in that Sean Payton clearly does weigh winning in the preseason as something that is, for whatever reason, important to him. He said if they're playing and we're keeping score, we want to win. And they obviously win by margin in the first preseason game. They're on a run of 8 straight preseason wins. So I wouldn't fault people for jumping in. It's just from a number standpoint, I think you're absolutely correct. We already knew the information. The movement on this it went up to as high as 7.5 at one point. Just didn't make sense from that standpoint. Do want to remind you guys, as we get closer to football season, covering not only football, but just about everything, 20 leagues, one mission. You got to check out Just Win Bets, baby. It is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They're breaking down all the data so you can bet with confidence across the entirety of the sports calendar. If you're watching right now on YouTube TV or the VSiN Watch app, pull out your phone. You can scan the QR code right now to head over there or type in justwinbetsbaby.com and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. We've got so much more still to come, everybody, here on VSiN. Money moves, lots of NFL talk. We got a little bit of a new wrinkle in the NCAA with everything going on with college football and that fifth year of eligibility. Plenty of baseball, plenty of guests. Will Hill coming up as well on the program. Stick around.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're just 8 days away from the college football season, getting it underway, and betting the season blind is a losing strategy. You can get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide today free with VSiN Pro. It's got previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and of course, best bets from your favorite VSiN hosts and minds. That's not all, though. VSiN Pro also gives you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time bet splits, and so much more. You can try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribes, how you can come join us. Again, that's VSiN.com/subscribe. Somebody who's got bets in all of those guides, Will Hill, joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line like he does each and every Friday. VSiN host, betting analyst, host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, writer over at Fox Sports, doing all the things. Will, good morning.
What's going on? Glad to be with you guys. A week or so till football. This time next week, we'll be a day away from football games that count. How about that? Time flies when you're having fun.
They all count. One of those games, too, you have a bet on already for week zero, if I remember correctly.
I'm going under TCU, North Carolina. I know our buddy Michael Lombardi, not with the program right now, but with just the way, I mean, we know him. We all worked with him for years. You give him kind of a blank canvas to build a program, and Belichick, you know, conservative by nature, defense first. They're going to run the ball. They're going to try to play defense, be conservative on fourth down. Both quarterbacks, I think, inexperienced. I think TCU's guy, you know, hasn't really played much. I think they'll probably try to just have him not lose the game. So I think that 47.5 key-ish kind of number, 47.5. I think by the time we close, I don't know, 46, if I had to guess, maybe 46.5. I do think you'll see a little movement down. So I'll get ahead of it and I'll go under. And you know, early in the season, maybe a little, you know, sloppiness, lack of continuity offensively too plays into it. But this to me looks like a good underplay TCU and UNC.
Well, and if Will's right, that would be good for your bet, right? Wanting to take the points with the Tar Heels?
Yeah. So I took UNC yesterday plus 7.5, Will. Part of it is the news obviously dismissed the safety. There might be an offensive starter that's out as well. But also, I think we kind of forget Belichick was a pretty good defensive coach for this team last year. Like, they, down the stretch, were a pretty, like, feisty group. The oddity and the variance of traveling to Ireland, I think they're going to be able to stay inside of that number.
I'm rooting for it to work. It'd be fun if Belichick had like a little revival here. I don't know. Like, this time next year, is he going to be the coach? You look at that schedule. It's like, where are the 5-6 wins coming from? And if they're looking at like, a 3-9, 4-8 type of season, is he really going to want to do it for a third year? Are they really going to want to do it for a third year? We'll see. But I agree, laying that type of number, especially when you're on the other side of the key number and you had a chance to lay 6.5. Now you're going to line up and lay 7.5. That's usually not a good way of doing business.
Real quick, anything else in week zero that you were looking at, waiting for a number, it passed you by? What were some of the other week zero matchups that stuck out?
Taking the points with NC State against Virginia would probably be the way I would look. With that game being moved now, 5.5, you're over. You're kind of in a dead spot with the 5.5. But it's funny, nobody, this time last year, everyone was on Hawaii, and that one got home. And by the way, that kicker's having a rough time for Vegas. But it seems like everyone seems to think it's going to be Stanford this year. They're going to get their revenge. They probably win that game by a touchdown plus. I don't disagree with it. Just kind of always makes me nervous when anyone's on that same side. So we lean towards Stanford. Again, missed the best of the number. We lean towards NC State plus the 5.5. But the only one I've actually played so far is that TCU-UNC under.
We still got to wait another week for college football, but we are in the thick of it with Major League Baseball, and it's a great card today. Plenty of good pitchers on the mound today, including the first game that we're going to see. Brewers, Braves, head-to-head, Chris Sale, Jacob Mizorowski. The total in this game, I saw as low as 5.5 out there. Still plenty of sixes, though, across the board. How do you see that one playing out in the early afternoon?
Yeah, it's funny. A little happy hour special, 4:10 Eastern. This is great. I wish baseball would do more of this. I like the under. Now, it was 6.5 when I was doing my podcast last night. 6 now, like you said, you could still find some 5.5. And you know, I tweeted out when it was 5.5 for a minute at DraftKings. That's about as low as you're going to see. That is as low as you're going to see in baseball. You can't have a 4.5 or 5. It's just 2-2. You're going over with those numbers or pushing. And a lot of people say you have to bet over based on principle. I don't have any principles. I'm going under. It still takes 7 runs to beat me. And I just feel like this is, you know, 1-0 in the 5th or 6th inning. Yes, you could play under 3 in the first 5. I've thought of that, but you got to get to 2 or less to actually win. 3 is obviously a push. Yeah. But in, you know, with the factor of the day being, or the game being during the day here, 4:10 Eastern, by the time the bullpens come in late in the game, shadows could be an issue. So to me, this has 2-1, 3-2 written all over it. It takes 7 to beat me. I'll go with the good pitching matchup here and go under. And I do think anytime you got two aces like this locking horns, Mizorowski knows he's pitching against Sale. Sale knows he's pitching against Mizorowski. I think that brings out the best in both guys. They know, hey, I can't mess around today. If I give up two runs, I'm probably going to lose. So I think, and I'm excited for this game. Should be a lot of fun. I think we get, you know, a game that's 1-0 into the fifth or sixth. And if you played that over, you're probably regretting it at that point. So you always got to sweat out bullpens, ties, extra innings, all that stuff. But I'm playing the under six here. I think we still go under.
Not exactly aces locking horns, but Troy Melton has been very, very good over an increasingly large sample size. And no, Cameron's coming off of a complete game one hitter. So what are we doing between Royals and Tigers?
I'm going to go under first five. You can find this at DraftKings. It was minus 130 for the first five. And I like that 4.5. I love that half a run where you went on that. So often that's the deciding run. Melton's been great. 1.89 ERA, probably not sustainable. The expected ERA is more in the threes, but even though there's some regression coming, he's still been outstanding when you look at any sort of stat, hard contact, his velocity, exit velocity, all that stuff. And look at Noah Cameron's last five starts. A couple weeks ago, he got touched up by the Dodgers, gave up four runs. If you're willing to overlook and kind of forgive that, the other four starts, he's been unhittable. And, you know, eight innings, three hits, no runs, one hit shutout. I think it was against your Angels. Two hits. He's basically given up one or two hits a start. He's not giving up any runs. He has been, like I said, unhittable here. Now, I don't expect that to continue, but I do look, you know, with recent form with pitchers, maybe something he figured out mechanically. Maybe it's pitch usage, but he's as hot as it gets. Neither team really hitting. I kind of want to stay away from that Royals bullpen, so I'll pay a little extra juice, the minus 130 or so, and go under the 4.5 in the first five.
VSiN host and betting analyst Will Hill joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X at not the Will Hill. Giants, Red Sox going head to head today. Some more potential ace on ace crime here. I contemplated taking the under 7.5 with Logan Webb and Sonny Gray going. You looked at an alternate approach. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, don't mind your under two, but I am going to take the half a run. You lay $1.10 in the first five with the Giants. I like these bets too, where the national anthem ends and you're already winning. You already got that half run in your pocket and you win on a tie. Gray's been good, but he pitches to contact. You can get a run or two off him. Webb has been outstanding. You look at his last three or four starts. I think his last four starts, he's given up a combined three runs. So you got a pitcher who pitches to contact with Gray. Webb's been dominant. I don't love the idea of backing these Giants, and I want to back them for the full game, but I'll take that half a run here in the first five.
All right, last couple of minutes with you. It's going to be the topic every single time, but where do you fall in the great debate, PCA, Shohei, and where we're being priced right now?
If you're going to give it to Ohtani this year, it feels like you're probably going to just give it to him every year, so I would lean towards PCA, and I've talked about this. Was the field that Ohtani versus the field, I liked the field, that 3-4-1. I still think Ohtani's got a very strong case. I mean, he's got 30 homers, almost hitting 300. You can dismiss the pitching, but 8-2 with a sub-2 ERA. If the pitching, I think it was Gil Alexander, I had my podcast today, he brought this up. If the pitching happened at the end of the year, I think people would look at it differently and say, hey, give it to Ohtani. He's pitching, he's hitting, he's doing everything. I feel like the voter fatigue, unless Ohtani pitches again, if Ohtani can pitch again and have a strong two or three starts, it probably goes to Ohtani. If he can't, it probably goes to PCA.
Like we've talked about several times, if you bet this market, you should have gotten a plus money price one way or the other at this point if you're in there. Let me hit you with one more real quickly before we have to hit the break. Your Yankees in action against the Blue Jays. Yankees pretty cemented in that top wild card position right now, but four back in the division against the Rays. Blue Jays just took 2 of 3 in Tampa. They're a half game out of that final wild card spot, so a really important series, all things considered. Cam Schlittler on the hill. If you want to play them, obviously it's going to cost you a hefty price, minus 193. But did anything stick out to you at all about this game or this series?
I'll give you what sticks out. And the Yankees are playing well, only four games out, and they play the Rays four times in September. So if you could start to get some guys back, you're going to be in good shape to maybe have a race here. I play Yankees to score the first run. I think Schlittler can get a clean inning, and then eventually, you know, the Yankees can break through. The Yankees have been an under cash cow. The 7 is just scaring me off, but I think it's like 13-2 the last 15. I've basically been giving it out every day because they can pitch. They've got a good bullpen. They've got great starting pitching, and they can't hit. But 7 is just too low. If I had to play anything, I would go Yankees to score the first run. I don't like laying this type of price, though, with the Yankees, and I don't like laying a run and a half, especially at home, especially with a team that's not hitting. But I will be in attendance, guys, and it is all you can eat and all you can drink, I think, until the game starts. Got a little hookup here with a wife's company, so all you can eat and all you can drink, pray for me. I'll be sending you guys some usual texts tonight during the game. That's probably the reason why. So don't
you be guzzling the glizzies. Yeah, you gonna be shoving those weens down, huh?
We'll see. We'll see what the menu is. Yeah.
Clip it all. Just clip all of this. Will, you're the best.
Just don't choke on those wings, buddy.
Thank
okay?
you for that. Enjoy slow. The night. Stay safe out there.
See you. Thanks.
Will Hill. God help us all. What's wrong with you? Oh, you never, neither you nor Justin responded to the gigantic bear claw pretzel I sent you guys. That might be my new favorite stadium food possibility. It was enormous. It's like the size, it's bigger than your head, which I didn't think anything was possible to get bigger than that.
Soft pretzel is like the most overrated food.
Oh, what? For shame. For shame. At least Justin's on my side. I wish, we need to get a mic on this.
You ever heard of that newfangled M&M, Justin?